Michael Van Beek is the Director of Public Policy for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Recently saw a piece that you wrote, and you believe charter schools are facing discrimination in Michigan. How so?
Well, it revolves around their ability to acquire and finance facilities. Unlike regular school districts, charters cannot levy a tax on local property in order to purchase a building. And so what they have to do is they have to raise their own money, use their general fund revenue to purchase buildings, or use philanthropy to get the revenue they need to buy these buildings. And then the other, so that's a difference there. But the other thing that happens with a lot of charter schools is that they aren't able to purchase unused vacant buildings from regular school districts because the school districts try as hard as they can to prevent charter schools from getting access to those buildings.
Michael, when I talk to leaders of charter schools, they believe that they are public schools and should have access to funds and be able to grow like public schools.
Well, they certainly are public schools. I mean, all of the same regulations and rules, virtually all the same ones apply to charters as they do regular school districts. And so, I think they have a good case. At the very least, when, a regular school district has a building that they're not using, that they're paying to maintain, even though it's vacant, I think those should be available to charter schools at a fair market price. They wouldn't necessarily have to give them away. Some states do that. Indiana does do that for charters. They allow them to get a vacant school building for free. Governor Mitch Daniels recently said the logic behind that is because taxpayers already paid for that building once already. So I think, those vacant buildings should be made available to charters in one way or another.
You're right. I found this very interesting. Once funding is secured, however, charter schools face another obstacle that should anger taxpayers: hostile discrimination from conventional school districts. Shockingly, many school boards have blocked charter schools from purchasing vacant school buildings at a fair market value. These districts waste money maintaining empty buildings and keeping other below capacity schools open simply to deny their use by another public school. Well, that's not right.
Well, and this was recently on display in Battle Creek. There, a charter school was trying to get up and operating. They had a plan. They had it approved by a public university, and they offered the Battle Creek Public Schools $250,000 for a vacant school there. They actually originally offered $190,000 and upped it to $250,000, this was a fair market price, probably above the market price for this building, and the Battle Creek School Board instead took it off the market because the charter had the highest bid, and now they're operating this empty building that costs them about $30,000 a year to maintain.
Tomorrow we're going to have David Hecker, who's the president of the American Federation of Teachers in Michigan. And when we talk to people like David and to the folks from the MEA and other school districts, I hear the same rhetoric when we bring up charter schools. They are no threat. We don't think much about them. Actually, they are underserving and don't attain the same test scores that we do, don't service the community, and they are not public schools. And I've never heard anyone once say that charter schools are fine, they do a good job.
Well, I mean, that's surprising. I mean, I think that might come from a lack of understanding how charter schools operate. Maybe they've never been to one and seen how they work. They are, in fact, they receive public funds because they are public schools. They're just organized differently. I mean, that's the main difference, is that instead of having a school board, they're operated with under a charter from a public university or some other public entity, and then have their own local board that operates the school. And a lot of them, the other difference that unions don't like is that a lot of them use a private management company, some for-profit, some non-profit, that operate the school, and a lot of their employees then are not unionized. And so for AFT and for NEA people, this is a threat to them because it means more kids are attending schools that don't require unionized employees, and that means fewer dues for their organization.
And also, bottom line, it's competition, especially if their district is underperforming when it comes to test scores.
Sure, right. And that's I think the other important thing to remember about charter schools that people often don't point out when they look at, you know, snapshots of test scores is that they serve a disproportionately higher number of students from low-income families. They serve a higher portion of students who are minorities. Those things we've known from education research have a big impact on standardized test scores. So if you're just looking at snapshot comparisons of charter schools versus regular school district averages, you would expect to have their average test scores be lower on average. What you need to do is actually look at how they grow over time. Are individual students who attend charter schools, are they growing over time? Are their test scores improving? And when you do that, and that has been done in Michigan, you'll see that most charter schools, the vast majority of them, improve individual student test scores.
Michael, do other states make funds available for charters to purchase, rent, and maintain facilities?
They do, yes. Colorado is an example of this. They just appropriate a lump sum of money every year for charter schools to access, and so they basically put in applications to say, we need this money. And Colorado recently in 2010 appropriated $5 million for that purpose in the overall state budget. That's a very little amount, but it helps the charter schools get up and operating. Minnesota, which has probably the most friendly charter school law in the country, provides charter schools with up to 90% of the money that it costs for them to rent their facilities. And it's capped at about $1,200 per student. There are other states who have a different take on this and who have different practices. And I think the legislature would do well to look at some of those other states and make it easier for charter schools to get up and running, especially if parents continue to want to enroll their kids in those kinds of schools.
Michael Van Beek is the Director of Public Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. If folks want to read this story, Michael, where can they go?
Well, they can go to our website, mackinac.org, and Mackinac's with a C, like the island, not the city, and we'll have a link to it there.
All right. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Tony.